I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, with Pixies guitarist Joey Santiago. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all.
We're in your guitar world. Why don't you tell us about some of your guitars?
Well, you know, we travel lean, so we got three. I got three guitars.
This is the gold top that I had to replace the guitar that was on the stand, and it felt like that. It was totally my fault. I do the silly solo with a chord, and it fell, it broke. My heart broke, and I got another guitar. I got one of these, and love it. The other guitar is very cherished anyways, and that stays at home.
Yeah, that was the gold top.
It's not really a year. It's called a 1960, and that's it. It's cheap but good, yeah. Treating me well. This, my guitar tech, one of the best in the business, Duncan, replaced these pickups with bare knuckle pickups, just so, because the ohms were, or the impedance were not as up to snuff as this other one I'm about to show you. Yeah?
Great. Okay. Beautiful guitar.
And this one is my black guitar, and it's my main guitar now. It just sounds too good. As much as I'd like to go back to gold top, I can't do it. You can't beat it. So I'm a cyclist, an avid cyclist.
Good.
So that's that. Bigsby, it's a custom, weighs a ton. Let me see, everything's stock on it. You know, and these Bigsby, they just stay in tune.
When you work this really hard too, you really work.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just very subtle, okay. Very subtle.
You don't have any tuning issues at all?
No, none at all. I mean, right. Obviously, guitar players out there, it's always the G string, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I always like this feature. I turn this off and I just do Morse code in case I'm in trouble. My G string's out. Hey, check out the strap. I got it from a lady that got a hold of me. It says Joe Yes on it. That way I know it's mine. And it's got studs, and you could design your own, and you could get it at her little shop at www.leatherheart.com. That's with a D, LEDERHART. She's great. You might have to wait a while, but because it's custom made.
Very cool.
All right. And now, my little baby. This is I call this the equal opportunity guitar. It's an ES-345 1965. I think George Harrison played this same kind of year. I'm obsessed with kind of, now I'm going to start collecting whatever he played. It's a Gibson with a Fender strap. This basically says a lot about me. And then it's got another Bigsby. It's great. I picked the right one. So it kind of goes a half step down, kind of automatically. You know, I picked that at the vintage store. I got it.
Did you have to tweak the Bigsby to be able to get it to drop down like a full set?
No, I just picked the right spring. Yeah, I just picked the right spring. But then again, you know, you should be using your ear anyways. And then the baritone is great. I always have it at 3. That seems to be what it's supposed to sound like. But when you go like this up to 6, it just sounds really thin. It's great for recording. You know, I use it around there because, you know, it shouldn't sound like a guitar all the time.
Right.
You know, so that's the, and that's it. Those are my guitars. You know, I have more at home, but we got to travel lean and mean.
Sure. Do you get nervous about traveling with such a valuable instrument like that?
No, you know why? It's because, you know, we got an awesome crew. You know, I totally trust them, and you know, they're not gonna screw around with it. You know, yeah. You know, Neil Young's guitar tech has the hell of a job. You know, it's like this is like $1.5 million. You know, it's like you know, the whole thing. It's right. Like crazy. Okay, the strings I use are 10 gauge, but Dyro's 10 gauge. Okay. That's it.
And picks.
Picks. Oh, look at this. Custom picks. It's got this, Pixies logo. It says Joey. And it's a Dunlop
Tens. Well, I don't know actually the gauge, but they're orange. Oh. It's orange. It's like, I think the most popular one. I tried the yellow one, but I don't know why I tried it, but then I went back to these because I trill with these.
Yeah.
You know, it's stupid. In the studio, I use this. Live, I try to make it harder myself. I try to be different. All right. Sure. Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your amps.
Amps. All right, I got two. I got, this is my main meat. This is like, you know, the dirt. It stays at the dirty channel. Really, it does. And it's a JCM 800 with two channels. Yeah, that's basically what I, and it's 50 watt. So it, you know, you could push it at a lower volume, which is, this Ryman's gonna need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna need it. I feel sorry for the. She was ever sitting there, but yeah, and this is my 1964 Vibrolux 64-65. I know one of you guys didn't crucify me, but this, it's a black face. It's nice, same pulp. I take it to a great amp guy that I trust in L.A. and it's just got an awesome. I mean, it's a Fender Reverb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the tremolo's crazy. You know, it's the best. Best in the business. I mean, without this, I don't think surf music could have been invented.
And do you tend to run them together?
Or? Yes, they're always together. This one will just give it more definition, and that'll just give it the devil.
Yeah.
The devil and
the devil and definition.
And this is the horn.
When you're recording, do you use the same setup?
Yeah. Basically the same. I also use this amp by Swart Amps, another boutique place in North Carolina. But yeah, those are about the three. But these two you could cover all the tones.
Yeah. Has your rig changed over the years much?
No, not really. This is that I've always used this. This is my amp. This is, I've had this since the beginning.
Real, that amp, that very one?
That very one.
Wow, man.
Yeah, they stopped making him.
That's a lot of miles.
Why did they do that?
Huh.
Why did they do that? I don't know. All right, so I've got this pedal board that I go to eBay once I get down to two, once another one breaks. But this is a DOD FX. They don't make them anymore, you know, but it's one of these modern sounding, and you're not, it's, you just can't make a blues face out of this. You just can't, it doesn't do that. This, it goes like this. That's what it does. That's what it does. It gives you to the audience. Give them a face.
Right.
Yeah. Scare the hell out of them. That's what it is. This, it's a gig rig. Made by Gig Rig, and this is the G2 model. Kind of like the flagship new one. But what basically does is it routes everything and makes everything true bypass. And you could program your, you know, what buttons. And they could do, like, instead of doing two or four steps, it does, you could do it one. Like this one will just go. Make my this is for my clean setting for my 345, because I always play clean on that, so it'll clean the Marshall will go to clean sound with, and then if I need this, I need the boost, and this is my boost pedal by Atomic, by Swart, and it's the best for me. And then this one is just the dirty. It has the, for my Les Paul, my black one. It has, it's basically a dirty channel there with a boost, with this boost. And this is just a Fender, I mean a Les Paul thing. And then my favorite is this. These are my Moog pedals. And this is the key, this is why we're doing this. See, I got a delay there. And I've got the Mini Murph, yeah, right here, the Mini Murph, and the Cluster Flux.
Yeah.
The Cluster Flux is one of their newest pedals. It's
it's basically a flanger and a chorus in one. You can combine them. And the flanger, this is what I use. It's beautiful. You can't even really tell. Unless, you know, I do something. Well, you can if I do on the show. But it's really, really deep. You know, like you're deep. It's not cheese.
And they're hidden below, and you use that controller.
This controller is for the amount in the modulation. So it just goes, the modulation.
Cool.
And then let me see. And sometimes I would use this, a Keeley compressor. Not much, but, you know, it colors it in a good way. Hyperfuzz by Boss. Not a snob. I use Boss.
Yeah.
And Boss is a very, very sturdy. And the fuzz is, like, pretty easy to use. Yeah. And then the OCD, full tone. That's pretty basic, good stuff. You know, high, low, bypass. I got another delay here. It's a Maxim analog delay. I like it here because I could fool around with the feedback.
You know? Sure. So you
one sound I kind of emulate a theremin. Yeah.
And you tweak as you're playing, right?
Yeah. Certain one I'll tweak. Certain things I'll tweak. You know, and the channel switcher. I don't know what the hell it does, but switches channels to my tuner. And this is the polytune. This is just true bypass. Just got it. And this, holy shit, I love this pedal. The smallest one, Holy Grail. Holy Grail. And it's got, you know, it's just beautiful. I mean, at past 9 o'clock, it gets ridiculous. You know, you get in ridiculous land, and that's when I just go kick, and just, you know, what is this? The flurb. It just has a weird trail. You know, it just sounds like, I don't know, like a second rocket boost. You know. And it's purple. That's it. Perfect. Oh yeah, did I explain the story? No blue space.
And the that Boss in the end, that controls your trim, tremolo on your Fender amp.
Yeah, it can do that now. Yeah. Uh huh.
That's great. So you're controlling both your amps and your pedals.
Yeah. But now I have a song that. We have a song that we do, and I use this, so both amps get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like this. Oh yeah, this tremolo. It has a tap tempo, and you could break it up into 1/3, and then the patterns are different. You know, it just, you know, throws you off balance. This is my guitar guru, better known as Guitar Tech, Duncan Swift.
Thank you very much, Joey.
The best in the business.
Well, yeah. That's very kind of you to say.
Okay, what were you doing here? He made me a nut, made out of bone.
Indeed.
Because there's something about it.
Well, we had a plastic, came with a plastic one on. It worn down. It was ruining the action, so we had to make a new one.
Yeah, because I played a lot.
Because he plays so hard, so sonic. The sonics destroyed the plastic. Only bone will suffice.
Yes.
This is Charles's 1957 Martin guitar. One of the first things I had to do with jet lag coming over from the UK, as it had no pickup, I had to put drill the hole in the bass for the thing. I'd hardly slept. I'd spent the day putting Joe's pedal board together and tried very hard not to crack. Thank you, sir. Tried very hard not to crack his pride and joy. We use Fishman sound hole pickups because Charles has always loved playing acoustics, but of course because of the volume, using an under saddle pickup is hard with feedback and stuff. So we've put this in, which enables him to play through the amps, and he loves it. He's playing more acoustic guitar now than.
Do you have feedback issues with a with an acoustic plugged right into an AC30 turned all the way up?
Yeah, Yes. But Charles is very good. Charles is very underrated, or well, not underrated, but I mean nobody sort of talks about him for his guitar playing. Mm. He's a fantastic rhythm guitar player, and he rides the feedback. It's a great thing. Great thing to listen to and see.
And you split the signal so it goes through the app and then also through.
The PA get a clean signal of just the acoustic, and they also get the feed from the amps if they want. But Charles likes the feel of it from the amps. So, and as you say, with two AC30s full up, people can hear it anyway. So
yeah.
Well, the next one is another 50s Martin. Same deal. He has two of them, you know. But this one already had a pickup fitted, so that wasn't such a bad job to do. And then he has a couple of 50s tellies. This one, which I think is the earlier one of the two. It's original, all original bits, as far as I know, as far as I've seen. But I mean, it looks and feels it. And this is his other 50s telly. And they're both beautiful. This one's a beautiful one to play. This one is slightly louder than the other one. So we keep that one tuned for two songs. It's just a semitone up.
Okay.
And he'll switch between this and his 60s SG for other electric songs. The strap is actually more heavy than the guitar. So very, very metal. He uses 10s too.
10 D'Addario as well.
Yeah. Which makes it nice and easy, so I'm not fumbling in the dark.
Right. Yeah.
As long as I don't put acoustic strings on the electric, we're all right.
Charles' rig looks really basic. Looks like you're starting with an AB box and then going into a Klon Centaur pedal, and from that into a Duh Fuzz. And then...
we're into his HD30 piggybacks. This is just a control for the tremolo, and this is just a tuner. We have a separate line for the acoustic into the DI, so if that's switched on, he's through that. But he can also play through his amps. He loves to play his acoustic through his amps.
Oh, through the AC30s.
Yeah.
And he runs both of those AC30s, like wide open, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like you're using a Weber Mini Mass attenuator on both of the AC30s.
Just to take a little bit of the power out. Because in small clubs it's far too loud, but he loves the sound, so you know it's trying to balance the two between not killing people's ears and Charles getting the sound he wants.
So
around the back we have a Palmer Y split box, which just splits the signal to the two amps.
Okay,
that's it pretty much.
Great.
And the reissue at the back is a spare. Should one of these go down, I can use that amp to drive the front speakers.
And what year are these AC30s?
They're mid-60s, I would say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think maybe 63 to 65. But, you know, anything's susceptible to breaking down. It depends how you handle it, how you treat it. These babies have been good so far, so, you know, hopefully.
And they're beautiful.
Be fun. Yeah. I believe these were in fact, before they put the AC30 into one cabinet, this is how it was done, with the amplifier separate to the speaker cabinet, so... there you go.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.